The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's a time of the early morning that we look at the affairs of business, economics, and trade. We are greeting you from your number one favorite radio station. Wherever you are, make sure that you tune in, because we are here until the hour of 8. This is your morning conversation. We are looking at bread, butter, and everything that has to do with advancement of the country. You know, they say in life you must be flexible. The only permanent things in life, or the only permanent thing in life, is change. You must be able to change, because things are moving, different parts are moving, and understand that change is necessary, because it's through change that you'll be able to learn. It's through changes that you'll be able also to see your mistakes, and it's through changes that you also be able to have a different perspective and a different view, because you understand that once you start growing, once your ages are starting to move, things that you believed in, or things that you thought they were absolute truth when you are at the age of 20, they start to change with time. You start getting new ideas. So that's why we must always advise each other, particularly when you can find somebody, even if you bring in an alternative point that can contradict what he thought was the truth. This person is most likely not to change. But in economic affairs, you need to make sure that you always entertain new advice, new insight, so that you will be able to bring about, you'll be able to change, and you'll be able also to bring about advancement, either in terms of your personal development, either in terms of your community development, and national development at large. And yeah, looking at continental affairs, and also what is happening around the world, we have to look at the aspect of, what is happening in the continent of Africa. And we start with Nigeria. Seems like the government of Bola Tinubu reshuffling cabinet. And Bola Tinubu, it is stated that the president of Nigeria has sent home the Minister of Finance, particularly when it comes to the recent cabinet reshuffle, and the Minister of Finance was replaced by his junior, and it also seems to be the aspect of reviving of Nigerian economy, and finding a better way on, improving the economy of Nigeria. You know that Nigeria have been going through a lot of changes, particularly when it comes to change of prices. And they were even trying to stop the operation of Nigerian airline, especially on Monday. But there have been a lot of changes. There have been a lot of pushing and pulling, particularly from economists, public officials, and also the public at large, and business community too. And on the other side, so the aspect of changing or coming up with a strategy that will be able to save the economy. However, at this point, it seems like Minister Wale Edun, who served as a finance commissioner during Tinubu's first tenure, and at one point he has been a decorated economist, been been a decorated economist until he was, sent home. It's a world educated economist, University of Success, from University of Sussex, and also University of London. And there's been a great ally of Bola Tinubu. But, the question that we should also ask is that, when you see in countries where the public sector find itself not doing very well or find itself in trouble, first people to be sent home are the people that are running the economy. Is this a scapegoat thing or is it really reshuffling? Because once you appoint the finance minister, it means that you have much trust. That is it's a strong ministry with highest influence. But just firing your finance minister like that, it could be that, sometimes, and politicians are very clever. They don't take the blame. You will not get them. There must always be somebody to be blamed. And I think it's the nature of politics, particularly in Africa. We have seen also what happened in Kenya at one point. President William Ruto just dissolved the whole cabinet after the protest. How can you do that? Okay, how can you do that? Realize that when the pressure is coming, you just dissolve the whole cabinet to say all of it is not functioning. And you also see what's happening in Madagascar too. Even that who came to power just recently, at one point dissolved the whole government due to challenges that they are facing. But let's see who will be, or how is, the new Minister of Finance going to deal with the economy of Nigeria, because the organization of Nigerian economy is significant, particularly the development of Africa, because that is the market of Africa, and also in terms of numbers and the resources, and also critical business people and investors. The people who have money, the big oka, those are found in Nigeria. And when you are speaking about the big oka, speak about the Aliko Dangote them, and also the group of Nigerian business people. Go to the list of wealthiest people in Africa. Then you understand that Nigeria is dominating, and they are everywhere. Investment in music, investment in technology, investment in cement, tourism, and also in aviation. And stated that Minister of Finance is replaced by his junior, that is Oyendele, who only resumed as a junior finance minister on 16th of March, and was central in administration of tax. And, I think the most difficult task, apart from leading Russia, I think is becoming the president of Nigeria too. It's one of the most difficult tasks. And when you look at Ahmed Bola Tinubu, I underestimated him at some point, but he's still pushing and he's trying to move Nigeria. But let's see. Particularly when we also have, there's also upcoming general elections next year. And Tinubu's administration will be tested, especially what they have been done over their term. Yeah, moving forward, know that when it comes to the position of United Nations Secretary General, we'll also be able to touch into that. We'll also be able to touch into that, because what is happening is that, candidates are there. They are cornered, and they are presenting their position because people want to take over the position of UN Secretary General position. And there are difficult questions, particularly coming from Africa. Very difficult questions, especially coming from Africa. African representatives who are asking to say what is in for us, what is in for Africa. And we'll also be able to touch into that, especially when we are moving forward. Understand that from the hour of 7 there, the main conversation will be looking at innovation, science and technology, and also to look at the products that Namibia have produced, particularly when it comes to manufacturing, and also what we sell in the international market. Because it's a very interesting thing to look at Namibian business operation. When you look at the upcoming Namibia EU Business Forum, which is quite, inviting everybody, you want to ask yourself a question to say, when our government is advising entrepreneurs and SME operators to come into joint ventures with these international businesses, which is quite a very good thing. The question is that, did you empower your SME so that they can be able to be into joint ventures? And what are you bringing on the table? What are you bringing on the table in that aspect? And you also look at the issue of having power in a contract, because the law of contract is also indicating that even though there is somebody who is offering and somebody who is accepting an offer, both parties, they have, what they have to do within that contract. But if you have a weaker position, imagine a Namibian SME in a joint venture with a company from UK or a company from Switzerland or Netherlands. What you can just look at is that the possibility for that domestic company to have less than 50% is very high. You can't find it vice versa. It's very high. That's why we have to look into that aspect too. And also have to look at the finalization of products. Ask yourself a question to say, why until now you still have to buy toothpicks from China? A mere toothpick that is telling you how we have not moved. It's not a joke, and you are not buying it in, you are buying it in US dollars. A mere toothpick. We are still, importing toothpicks. Then you look at what can we really do. Now, if we are still importing toothpicks, now we want to manufacture. We want to come to manufacturing. What are we going to manufacture, and how are we equipped? And it's not a matter of saying we do not have people, but we also need to look at the aspect of saying if you want manufacturing, if you want, innovation and also coming up with finalized products. Let us also look at how much was invested in research and development in Africa and Namibia too. And that will be the conversation, particularly from the hour of 7 there, to look at what can we do and what better solutions can we be able to come up with, especially looking at that ground. Yeah, looking at going forward with continental affairs, it is stated that nearly 1,000 migrants dead or missing in 2025, and the journey to look for greener pasture by Africans continue, especially when people continue leaving Africa, trying to look for a better pasture. However, that journey to go to Europe, to go to the Middle East, is full of trouble, horror, and stories that you cannot imagine. Here it is stated that UN report show that around 8,000 people died or disappeared on migration routes in 2025. That is according to UN. And this is a reminder for many that the journey to search of opportunities and safety remain deadly. This also means that home can be a better option if you do not have resources. Because if you are trying to go to other people's houses, they are also struggling. They are going to mistreat you there. And it's not good for the future of Africa. And it's also a question that we should also ask African leaders to say, why your people are running away from the countries? Is it really because all of them are politically oppressed? Is it really because there is nothing that they can do? Or is it because the opportunity is not well defined so that people can be able to participate in that? And it is stated also that what stands out is not just the scale of a loss, but how it happens. The invisible disappearance. The invisible shipwreck. Describe entire boats vanishing without trace. And that is exactly what's happening, particularly when you look at the Mediterranean Sea. Every day, African lives are lost, children disappearing, even pregnant women are leaving their countries. And you really ask yourself, and you know the weakest link in Africa currently is Libya. After Libya was destroyed by, NATO and also with some of the Libyan civilians, it never came in order. If somebody asks you who is the president of Libya, what does he do? Did you see him at the AU summit? Even if he attended the AU summit, is he has any position or any value? Does he have control of his country? Not at all. That's why it's just becoming a gangster state. It's becoming a state. Imagine a country having, after all those years, for the first time, it's having a consolidated national budget since 2011. That's why now people who are running out of Africa, they go through Libya. And it's unfortunate. And that is what the country can turn into if you don't handle it properly. That is what the country can turn into if you like to listen to everybody who is from outside saying people are pressing you inside. That is what a country can also turn into if, people become so disorganized and, the resources of the country start to be eyed by people that are not having national interest at heart. Because what is interesting also, and what I think every young African must learn, is that wherever there are resources and there are conflicts, business does not stop. Do you think when there is war in DRC, mining is stopping? Mining is not stopping. Is stopping. Helicopters are just flying with diamonds every day. And the biggest mining companies in the world, they send their experienced private security there that even your rebels cannot go through. But why you have chaos? People are busy extracting their minerals. And just look at it. There was never a time that, maybe temporary closure, but people have been taking minerals from DRC and any other countries. Even when there is school and all these things, business people are very busy. And they are building their properties through those resources, whether they are acquired legally or illegally. Know that the interest is always on what a person will be able to get. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue the conversation, particularly looking at the continent of Africa, and move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi. Dayo loka, opone ujendi fenawa, lokumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge fata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali, ile konderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, oma filane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put with my dream, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM,
We are moving forward, and looking at South Africa, looking at the energy sector, it's indicated that South Africa could see the first winter without the power cuts in years. That is how the energy sector in South Africa is growing. And it's indicated that in South Africa, the state-owned electricity company Eskom announced on Wednesday that it does not expect power outage during winter months in the Southern Hemisphere from April to August. This will be the first winter without power cuts since Eskom have been facing difficulties. And we are telling you to say South Africa got its leadership in order. South Africa got its leadership in order. Particularly when it's coming to energy utility, they realize to say no. Even if the Eskom was politicized to the aspect of saying no, we have sellouts. So let us deploy the KEDA deployment, and things were messed up. Corruption was everywhere. CEO, it was the hottest seat. It was very difficult to be a CEO of Eskom. But currently, as you are speaking, Eskom is making billions of dollars. They are making profits. They have a new leadership, particularly the board, and things are moving well. And the videos that we have been seeing on social media, I don't even know where they are. They disappeared. People used to make fun of, load shedding. People used to make fun of load shedding to say, no, South Africa is just a joke. But currently, I think that is also a very good indication that when you get leadership correctly, when you get the management of, energy utilities correctly, then there is no way that you are not going to succeed. And I think Gwene Matashe and his ministry, and also the Minister of Electricity, because know that that guy is also a Minister of Electricity. This is your job is to just to deal with electricity. And looking at that aspect is that you'll really be able to see that electricity in South Africa become now reliable and sustainable. It's stated that the electricity outlook in Eskom is now more reliable, and it's also stated that the utility company says it has cut its use of diesel at emergency power plants, saving $1.64 billion compared to previous 3 years. And this is something that that can happen when you have good corporate governance within the SOEs. When you have a good corporate governance within the SOEs. I was, I was reading the book of that was written by Andrew DeRuiter, the former CEO of Eskom, who has been leader of Eskom for 3 years, spoke about truth to power. Then when you read it, when you read between the lines, you realize to say, what he was saying is true. It's not only about Kenta deployment at ESCOM. It's also about people professionalizing corruption, because he, in the first few pages, he stated that when he entered ESCOM as the CEO, he looked at the packing, because the packing of an institution will tell a lot about the financial well-being, whether people are getting money legally or they are not getting money legally. And he started comparing just the managers themselves and supervisors' vehicles, houses. How can a junior supervisor have bigger houses with swimming pools that, and when you look at his payslip and compare to the assets, you will be shocked. And that is exactly what have happened, where you have an institution that corruption was so deep to that extent that once you try to even advise a junior, you end up finding yourself in trouble, because people have connections. People were selling, facility, equipment. But currently, as you are speaking, I think that is one of the things that maybe Ramaphosa should take, or the whole administration should take, to say this is what we have done in terms of energy. When and the question that we should ask ourselves is that when South Africa is getting its energy correctly, what does that mean to Namibia? This means to Namibia that you continue to give profit to South Africa for a long time, because them, even if they don't have power, they continue to supply us, which means that we are a very good customer. The question is that for how long? We understand that NAMPOWER and also other energy distributors in Namibia, they are trying to come up with alternative or additional supply, particularly to complement the Namibia grid, so that at least we can have 60% or 70% of our own electricity production at home. And also the move from Namibia and also Angola to work on a project that is bringing electricity at home, I think it's also quite a very important move, because what Namibia needs currently, it's not about electricity, it's about affordable electricity, because electricity continues to be expensive. And it's not coming back. It's affordable electricity, and electricity can only be affordable when, you have enough domestic supply, so that you can be able to control the price easily, because you don't determine how they are going to charge you, because you are the one who is coming to buy. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we can also be able to continue, particularly looking, continue to look at the continent of Africa and what is happening, especially when it comes to trade and also aspect of political relations, because it's Africa for you. It's our mother continent, and every day is a news, and you don't know what's going to shock you. You don't know what's going to shock you. And we are not saying Africa does not have potential, but what is shocking us continue to shock us, and you don't know what will shock you tomorrow. And know that the Pope is still in Africa. The Pope is in Africa, and I understand that he has touring five countries. And we'll look into that too. But let us first look at the short commercial break. Then we'll continue with that conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other staff. Ripurane ngilo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todae njuka.
okukwetera oipindi konu Honda doinawa. Nune udo, otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarude dayo loka. Opone ujendife nawa, nukumona oijamo ilinawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM. The
early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And there is a controversial plan that is coming from Trump administration. It stated that the United States of America is considering to send over 1,000 Afghans to DRC, Congo, amid the resettlement held. And this is interesting to read because the government of the United States of America is considering to send over 1,000 Afghans, and these are the people of Afghanistan that have collaborated or have worked with the United States of America, particularly when it was fighting in Afghanistan for over 20 years. It has been in Afghanistan for 20 years, wanted to replace Taliban. But what happened is that at the end of 20 years, Taliban was replaced with another Taliban, and which is, means that nothing have moved. But remember that when a foreign country come into a country, either is to invade, either is to fight, they have their collaborators, because Afghanistan cannot be destroyed without Africans people that can work, against themselves. And in this aspect, these people are also given, special treatment, because when U.S. left Afghanistan, it also left with some of these people. But U.S. is saying, no, we have to send these people somewhere. That's why they are saying they are now trying to find a way to send 1,000 Afghans who are stranded in Qatar to be resettled in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And you are really asking yourself a question to say, sometimes she second can be a good negotiator, but how many problems does, he needs, or how many problems is DRC will have? Because if you add another 1,000 of Afghans in DRC, the country is not even able to feed itself currently. But just because people think, let's just go and dump them there. And the question is that if these people were interpreters, if these people were working with US troops during the war in Afghanistan, why can't they be taken to the United States of America? And this is including interpreters, family members, and also service personnel, and more than 400 children. Because remember, and I think it's the same thing which is also causing the extent of ceasefire in Iran. Because I think the U.S. is also very smart. Realized to say there were people in Iran that were supporting protests and were also supporting American bombardment. But now that there is no total victory on the battlefield, these people are now suffering. Because what the Islamic Revolutionary Guard did is doing now, they are searching all the people they are calling them traitors, all the people that have been working with Iran with USA and Israel, all the intelligence operators, they are being, looked for, because now Islamic Revolutionary Guards, they took control of strategic sectors of the country. They are now back in their streets. And you can also see even civilian women, they are supporting what's happening in Iran. That is what happened after war, because you must also think about people that are being left there. That's why these days Trump said Iran is not going to execute around over 10 people that were already in line to be executed, because he negotiated like that. And it's really sad to say people are caught in this fire. Imagine somebody come and say, no, do this because we are going to protect you. Now they are going to be dumped in the DRC. And what will happen after that? Why can't they be taken? I think maybe US is also scared of having Afghans in their own country. Because these people, even when they collaborated, know that the minds of people also shift. The same with what was happening here. After the war, brothers and sister were fighting each other. Some were fighting on the side of plain, somewhere with Kufut. But people started rethinking to say, no, I think I was played. Or I think it's not the right thing. It happened here somewhere where some people, they went to South Africa after independence. Some, they stayed home. And we are also those who were discriminated because of the position that they had, which actually what happened in most cases. But in this regard, DRC will accept. And the question is only that for how long DRC will be able to accept. And also ask yourself this question. Why do you think DRC is willing to accept those? Is it over security? Is it over protection? But yeah, it's a conversation we need to look into. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, you can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And when you look at that is how the situation is, and it also stated that coming to Africa again, the French ambassador to South Africa, French ambassador to South Africa, David Martinon, has indicated that South Africa should be not excluded from G20 meetings. And there's ongoing controversy on social media to say, why are you saying that now? If your country could not even allow South Africa to attend a G7 summit. But it's interesting to see. Good morning. Good morning. Morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yeah, I think there is something that we have to work out on the line, or maybe the caller, is not able to come through properly. But you can still call back. You can still call back at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. I think it's technical fault, or maybe it's a network, but you can still try calling us 083-288-401 so that you can be able to air your view. ask your questions. And bring about constructive criticism to say the French ambassador to South Africa. Good morning. Good morning.
David, good morning.
Well, what is wrong with your phone, Uncle Bana?
No, I think it's okay. I just thought I could allow.
Come again? Come again?
So, hello?
I'm saying, what is happening with your phone? Are you not at your usual place?
Yeah, I am not, but...
Yeah, I can hear you now. Hello?
Are you hearing me?
Yeah, are you driving or what?
No. But I'm standing.
I think you must try to call back again, and stand still, and we'll be able to communicate from there. Yeah, moving forward is that the French ambassador to South Africa showed his regret, particularly looking at what have happened to South Africa, and when it is not invited to G20. And Mr. Ambassador David stated that France, being also the founding member of G20, we consider, of course, that South Africa is full French member of G20. It should be part of all the meetings, and that is what he has stated. And he also indicated that France was not influenced, especially when it disinvite South Africa to the G7 summit. And when you are looking at France, you really see that I think Emmanuel Macron tried his best to play the diplomatic cards, and it's not working out properly. There was a point France applied to BRICS. You can also see that France is also looking at not only to be part of EU, but also to look at other alternatives. And you also see that over the past 5 years, it has lost some of its former colonies, particularly strategic business relation that they had due to military junta around over 5 countries that were having France interest. They were new military government there. You look at the Sahel regions and their military cooperation, mining corporations have been discontinued. But you also see from last year that Emmanuel Macron has tried his best to build a relation, and has also applied to be part of the BRICS. And he's even the one who invited Cyril Ramaphosa. But there's still pressure that is coming from nobody knows. Some people are saying it was United States of America, especially to disinvite South Africa, because they have been a fragile diplomacy. There have been a fragile diplomatic relation between South Africa and also France. But you can also start to see that countries, they are also standing on their own. Because if you look at Spain is very clear. And I think Prime Minister Sanchez is bold enough to stand up and say, no, that is not going to happen. That's why he speak up. If there is something that he is not happy with, he does not move around. He just speak up. He's the first guy to say, Trump, I know you have a strong army, but you are not going to land your people here in my country. You are not going to use my airspace even. But Trump, listen. Good morning. Good morning. Morning. Yeah, I think it's quite important to check your network and also maybe check the phone that you're using also. Because sometimes it's not the network, sometimes it's the way we press the phone. Sometimes it's what we connect the phone to. Maybe you have earphones, or maybe you are connected to another, app or any other thing. But make sure that before you communicate, you check your phone so that it will not disrupt our communication. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Eagle FM. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange dashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka okwene ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko merewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM vipae.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 58 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station, wherever you are. And this is your Early Morning Scoop, morning conversational program. And today we are not only speaking about science and technology, we are not only speaking about innovation, we are also looking at what Namibia has produced over the past 36 years, and also what we are planning to get into, especially when you want to speak about industrialization, and also ask the question to say, what is the standard of an industrialized country, and is what we are aiming to get into, understand it, and the goals that we are also setting, tangible, attainable, and can they really be achieved within the time that we have placed into? You know, next week, NAST will host a public engagement, which is in the form of an interview, where the two candidates for the VC will stand up. And but yeah.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind.
NHB.
NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, we indicate that next week, and everybody must watch. Everybody must either attend online and watch and ask questions, because it's not only about who's going to take over the position, but who is going to be the head of Namibia Technological Education. Because apart from other universities in Namibia, the aim of having a technological university was to make sure that when industrialization comes, when we speak about artificial intelligence, we don't only speak about artificial intelligence in terms of copying and paste. When we speak about computer science, not only about the computer science and also to fix things which are already there, but also to come up with new, maybe supercomputers, maybe new robotics that we can use, maybe new innovation. When you speak about microbiology, we don't only speak about microbiology, but we speak about what product can be brought about. When we speak about medicinal chemistry, what other things can be brought about, what can be produced in those labs, even in the sector of medication. That's why we have to look at what Namibia have produced, and you'll be able to be shocked, especially when you look at the products that we finalized, we processed. Tell me that there are no products that we finalized in Namibia. There are products that we finalized, but are they necessary for the overall developmental goal? Because as we are speaking currently, every hotel that you can go to, there are toothpicks. And I like giving the example of a toothpick that is telling you how far we are when it comes to finalization of products. There are toothpicks. There are tissues. There are things that you look at them, they look like simple, but that is a lot of money. And you have given a lot of money to people, even to things that you can do on yourself. Do you really think if you train me to come up with toothpicks, how long am I going to take? I just need a machine, or I just need to understand how things are being done. But we are spending that money, and we are very happy and comfortable to be in a consumer economy. Do you know that wealthiest people in Namibia, they still lose money by, external expenditure, especially when it comes, either you are buying luxury, you are still losing money. You are rich poor in that context because of the environment that you're finding yourself in. That's why you also ask a question to say, continuation of a consumer economy, which the president spoke really strongly about, to say a consumer economy is not industrialization. A consumer economy is not development. That's why we also need to liberate ourselves mentally, which is actually a fair argument to say we need mental liberation so that we ask those difficult questions to say, in the field of medicine, what progress have Namibia done? I'm very happy to see, I visit a hospital, I will always be very happy to be attended to by a Namibian trained doctor, either locally or internationally. We have seen now that Namibia have heart surgeons, Namibia have specialists of eye. Dr. Dume is one of the great examples to see that there is progress in Namibia in terms of medical fraternity. Nurses are everywhere. And you see that is good. That is good. But there is always chaos in the ministry of... not that there is always chaos. The better word is that there is, in most cases, there is panicking when the storage of medication started going low. Because the question is always that we are going to get the medicine, people are going to die, there is no medication. One may also ask to say, yes, it's a very good concern, and we must really be able to take care of our people. The question is that in that process of continue buying medication, do we have a program in place to say, at least 2 to 3 medication per year. why can't we try those, you know, new ways of doing things? Do you know that it's not wrong to transform a herb that our grandmother have been using into a finalized product that can be used in the hospital? What is our contribution to the field of medicine, particularly in terms of producing medical drugs? We are seeing that aspect, then it already tell you that for the next 20 years, if we continue to be like this, that will continue to be our concern. Do you think it's a situation in China? Do you think it's a situation even in South Africa? It's not like that. Although they are importing, they are producing their own medication now. Even when the foot and mouth disease was killing animals in South Africa, they also have their own vaccine that they have made themselves. Then you come to consumer economy in terms of technological matters. I still want to see that how many car parts are we producing, and if you are not producing any, is a car part, just go to a garage, and the only thing that Namibia have there is only a mechanic and his education. Maybe even the clothes that he is wearing they are not from Namibia. The car parts, the tools that the person is using to fix, that car, the other parts that he's replacing with, everything is coming from outside. Then you must really be concerned to say, what can we do? Because one thing I've asked yesterday at an information briefing of Namibia EU Business Forum is a question of the contribution of not only EU but our developmental partners in uplifting us also. Because it's an insult to me and also to the country when somebody stand up and say, yeah, we are coming to Namibia, we have entered into agreement and it's a win-win. How can you have a ground squirrel and an elephant in one ring and you are saying it's a win-win? Win-win how? We are not saying we should not enter into business, but at least we must be taken serious to say, okay, please assist us to grow. Because if I depend on you, you want my children also to continue depending on you. And that is not good. And Namibia should, we are not saying we must not beg. We must just be understood to say, okay, we respect that you continue engaging with us. But let us create the threshold of partnership to say, this is what we are going to get into. This is my growth. Now, imagine the other time we have Russia, Namibia, Russia Business Forum, which is good. That is trying to expand economic expansion. Now, look at it this way. You have a lot of companies in Namibia that are not producing products. They are into the various businesses. They are not producing products. But these companies are not even competing internationally. Continentally. I think James Sankwasa made a very strong point to say, there's no Namibian company which is competing internationally. But you are getting into cooperation with bigger companies that compete internationally for 20 years. Then you do not have a real plan on your growth. Do you really think you outperform them one day? You may grow, but do you really think you outperform? You are not going to outperform them. You are just going to be a hand hanger in your own country. Those are the things. Now, when it comes to innovation, research and technology, I'm always giving to say we have a critical institution, Namibia Research Commission, Namibia Industrialization and Development Agency, NIDA, and NAST, and also following other institutions, particularly those are the institutions who were supposed to be key drivers of technological advancement, innovation, research and development. The question is that how, what did you produce? Let me give you a list of things that you have to be proud of also. Things that Namibia have produced. Maybe just to get the 10 things that Namibia produce as Namibia produce as final processed product. We have Venduk Lager. We must be proud. That is topping the list. You also have Tafe Lager. Mitko canned beef. You have Oshkandela. You have Namib meal wheat flour. You have also peel noodles from Mahangu. You have Horongos. You have cement. You have taint leather headbanks. You have frozen fish products. You have natural cosmetic, spinach juice, cut and polished diamond, charcoal, and smelted copper. And you also have polished, granite tiles. Now, these things, we must be proud of them. It's a good thing to be proud of this, final and processed product. And what you also need to understand is that most of the things that are listed here are consumable, not enablers of development. These are aid products which are consumable and which are part of food. We must be very happy about this production. Then let's come to technology. In terms of automotive industry, what is one thing that we have brought about? A young person who came up with a cell phone which is not using a SIM card to call, and it's working properly. Now we are asking a question to say, where is that young man? Is his innovation advanced or is it blocked? Does he have money now? Does he have a company now? Or he does not have a company? He came up with a very new, from somebody from VTS. I really need to check, where is that kid? Because Namibian who come up with cell phone that is not using a SIM card was supposed to be a leader of the industry. Or that innovation was supposed to be advanced. Anyway, Simon Petrus created the prototype cell phone that operate without a SIM card, airtime, or mobile network. You just need the radio frequency technology. We don't know what happened to that person. We don't know if the research is advanced. But just wait. Maybe in 5 years you'll start buying something like that coming from outside the country, while you have an industry standing there. Which was going to disrupt the whole, the whole market of technology. Which was a good innovation, to say if the others fail to change, because this guy Simon Petrus was supposed to be our Steve Jobs.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregate. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation. There was also another young person in Namibia who came up with it's not a rocket. The guy was just trying to do his innovation and he was shut down. Then you're asking yourself to say, if this was in another country, this person would already be the person would already been recruited by the militaries to advance the technology. But the question is that why are we shutting down our Namibian innovators, or there's just really no help? And could this research taken somewhere so that these people can advance? Because so far, we only have finalized food, but any other products? Any other product either is... either a cell phone, but when it comes to cell phones, there is no advancement that we brought there. We're just fixing, charging points, charging ports. We're just maybe flashing them and restarting. But if it's finished, there is no parts that we can put into that phone. That's why if you move around, you look at the cell shops. You really see these materials that are no more working, such as either cell phone or laptops. Then it's already telling you that we do not have other industry that can be able to accommodate this, either to be recycled or to be turned into new, fresh, items. That is telling you how far we are when it comes to development. Now, innovation in terms of technology cannot go forward without investment in technology, and also investment in R&D, that is research and development. It is stated that Africa investment on average in research and development is between 0.43% to 0.5% of GDP. And it is stated that research and development in Africa has fallen regardless of 2026 or 2006 African Union target members to spend 1% of GDP on R&D. Because that is exactly where the point is. When you speak about research and development, you don't only speak about research and development because you want the data. You speak about research and development because you want the new ideas. You want new machines. You want new ways of doing things. But African Union have lost in terms of a lot of targets. You have a target of silencing of the gun, not reached. You have a target of 1% of the GDP on R&D, is not reached. You also have a target of spending also about 1% on anti-corruption, then you realize that there is still a lot of things that need to be done. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll look at United Nations and also the candidacy and see what context they bring about. I was trying to look at Macky Sall, especially African candidate, to say, is he going to win? And if he win, is it only going that he's going to secure his position as an SG, or is bringing about changes? Because there are division either within AU or within his country to say, is he running away from prosecution? or he is really genuine that he is going to be able to lead the United Nations to a better way? Is he really going to convince the likes of Trump, Putin, Xi Jinping, and Kim Jong-un to bring about the world to peace? Maybe, because leadership is about taking impact and also influencing. Maybe we're going to have one of the most powerful United Nations that we have ever seen before. Or we are going to have a deteriorating institution, which is quite dangerous, especially to Africa. Because all problems are here. All the problems are here. But interestingly also is that all the challenges are also here in Africa. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at the candidate from yesterday, especially the part that has to talk with Africa.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM, otuna e mitota njuka, okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo, otukwetira o special ange, tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu watatu, omafilane Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura.
Good morning.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. It's 24 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are looking at one of the candidates, especially for United Nations Secretary General. We are looking at Madam Rebecca. Grispin, especially when she is being interviewed by 193 ambassadors around the world, especially why is she thinking that she is going to be the better candidate than others? And they are presenting their cases and looking at the questions, especially being asked on the side of Africa. We need to look at how Africa is asking for its shares and what Madam Rebecca is saying on that ground. And he at one point served as a Secretary General of UN Trade and Development, and it's a decorated economist, and also an international figure on that ground. And you see that this time, women, they are also taking a forefront on replacing Antonio Guterres at the UN. And you can really see that people are up to the task, but we are yet to see how she will be able to navigate through. And we have Macky Sall. Let us not underestimate him, because Africa can also surprise you, because we are just waiting and see how things are going to turn out, especially looking at the global relation and also issue of maintaining, promoting, and also expanding multilateralism. And it's quite important to listen to the question, particularly from Mali. Mali is a representative for Africa, especially representative for African group. We also have various ambassadors there. Namibian ambassador is also there. South African ambassador and all other countries. But let us listen to what Ms. Rebecca has to say, particularly looking at questions from Africa.
And unhealthy competition between the organizations of the UN. If we don't do that, we will be in the same place in some years to come, doing the same exercise we are doing today. And with respect to the structural reforms, we will need to take it further. Still, there is a discussion between the membership. We will respect that discussion. Is for the membership and the member states to take those decisions, but I think that more can be done in the structural pillar. With respect to the SDGs and the 2030 agenda, and what should we do? We are all very cognizant of that we are only 18% on track for the SDGs. And I think that the effort has to be put at the country level. I share the concern of all of you, but I think that we need to go back to the countries, to their priorities with respect to the Agenda 2030. We have to support them to accelerate progress. This is an institution that is too much supply-driven. We have to be much more demand-driven, also supporting the countries for the objective of the 2030 agenda. And with respect to the independence of the...
And we do have a few questions for her. Could the speaker point the microphone towards him, please? The absence of Africa amongst permanent members of the Security Council.
Lastly, with respect to the fiscal space in the development pillar and the problems and challenges that are going, many of the developing countries are going through, I will have more time to develop these ideas as the questions come in. We have problems with the time limit, but let me say that I understand what is that the developing countries are going through. I know the problems of debt. I know the problems of financing. I know the problems of trade and investment. I will deal with this according to my knowledge and my expertise. Thank you very much.
I thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Mali on behalf of the African group, followed by Andorra and Kyrgyzstan.
Merci, Madame la Présidente.
Thank you, Madam President. On behalf of the African group, I would like to thank Ms. Greenspan for her communication, and we do have a few questions for her. Could the speaker point the microphone towards him, please? The absence of Africa amongst permanent members of the Security Council is a historic injustice.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's Easy Payday Loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
undermine the legitimacy of the main body, and this is a main issue for the continent. What is your position on the reform of Security Council, and how will you use the office of the Secretary General to move intergovernmental negotiations on this issue forward? The Resolution 2792 created a permanent framework for Africa-led peacekeeping operations to be able to benefit from UN budget. But implementing this resolution is at an impasse. What is your approach to the third annual review here, and how are you going to tackle this absence of political will here? On the issue of development, development remains a number one priority for Africa. What link do you make between Agenda 2030 and Agenda 2063 and the Pact for the Future? And what are you going to do to make sure that there's United Nations support to development in Africa? What specifically will you be doing to move the IFI reform forward, including increasing Africa representation within these institutions, including the bias of the rating agencies on Africa? On human rights, how are you going to integrate that in other pillars, security and development? Do that without politicizing. Penultimate question now. The African staff within this secretariat is encountering difficulties, visas, contracts, underrepresentation at level of P5 and higher, and in some cases even discrimination. What measures are you planning so as to tackle these issues? Now, United Office on Africa, the Economic Commission for Africa, the Political Affairs Division need to be strengthened. How are you going to go about that? And a few seconds more now, which current programs on Africa currently existing are you planning to strengthen and support? Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Mali on behalf of the African group. Given the time limits also for answer, so maybe if everybody can consider how much time it needs also for answering the question, please, Ms. Greenspan, you have the floor, and we will hear afterwards Andorra and Kyrgyzstan.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Thank you very much to the representative of Mali on behalf of the African group. With respect to the reform of the Security Council, well, I also come from a region that feels underrepresented. So I understand very well the question. But I know that there are different groups within the member states that have different positions with respect to the reform of the Security Council. And you will have to look for a convergence and what is that you want to take forward. But I have said very clearly that a council, a security council, that reflects the world of today will carry heavier and better weight. So let me go to the peacekeeping operations in Africa. I'm very aware of the resolution, given the African Union also a more deep partnership in the peacekeeping operations, and I know that resolution with respect, especially with respect to the financing, has not been implemented. And I will make for me a priority to look at that, because I have said the UN doesn't have the monopoly of peace, and it doesn't have the monopoly of peacekeeping. We have to partner with new actors, with new regional organizations that have the capacities that they didn't have before. The African Union is, in that sense, a very important partner for the UN. And we have to honor that partnership with our commitment. With respect to the development of women, Agenda 2030, the Agenda 2063 of the African Union, the Pact of the Future, is all of those are very important mandates that the General Assembly has given the Secretary General and the UN, and we have to comply with the mandates. I was very involved in the Pact of the Future as all of you now. No. And in the Pact of the Future, the international financial system reform was obviously a priority. UNCTAD, as I was Secretary General until very recently, we have launched the debt platform together with the countries. The countries are in the driver's seat. UNCTAD is the secretariat. I think that is a very important step forward and a milestone that has not...
Yeah, that is part of the conversation, particularly from Rebecca Grispen from Costa Rica, and is looking at making sure that Africa is a priority, making sure that Africa is a priority, especially when she become, it's only when she become the Secretary General of United Nations. And is this only things that have been spoken about at the interview? Because everybody, if you listen to, if you go back and listen to Antonio Guterres, the things that people speak when they are at the podium and things that they do when they are in office is quite different. But we're here to see what will happen, because they are speaking about the aspect of debt, because people have realized, and the world have realized, to say IMF and World Bank, the way they have been treating us is not right. There is no way you are a Bretton Woods institution where every country was supposed to be an equal country. But when it comes to debts, Africa is given high interest rates due to risk. Why is it that we are already developing? And that has really put a lot of African countries into debt. That is why the indication from the global platform is that international financial institutions must be reformed. Morning.
Morning, David.
Yes, what was wrong with our phone today?
My sincere, I think, you know, some of these students, the way they connect our things, see? It's like, oh, what, and discover that this AB is not usually, it's not something that I know. Uh-huh. I have to delete it.
Oh, you were connected to something else?
Maybe those, could be that students were connecting to their web and study, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I found out that it was really disturbing, and because I could hear you and very little, so I had to go back.
You end up speaking at a classroom WhatsApp group.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're telling a lot of nonsense. Which one is this?
Which one? No, it's true. You know, technology is a very complicated thing. You think you are here, you end up talking to a family group WhatsApp.
If you want to ask me about this technology, digital device, technological issues, those devices, my friend, this is the one that I can ever tell you that I have experienced a challenge in my life ever during the study.
But it's a good thing, because you know that for the first time that, just let me say, in 5 years, we are going to have our grandmothers who will be using, you know, iPhones, and they are on WhatsApp and all these things. You know how beautiful technology is sometimes.
Yeah, and then I'm just wondering why, not really why, and I'm sure also why, why the schools have not yet been provided with these digital packages, this kind of thing, and integrating the AI seriously into the education system, on the economic, social, and all this other. So
is your thinking to say students must be given a technological gadget, or they must be taught how to come up with technological gadgets?
Yes, when you teach them.
No. Because if you give me a car, I will not think about coming up with a car anymore.
No, I'm talking about the one in the primary school.
Yeah.
So those ones in the primary school, because they have to learn from the known to the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they start to manufacturing something of that nature? They have never been exposed. They don't know how it works.
Mm.
All those things, you know, like a country like China, and even Libya before it was destructed. distracted by, I mean, destroyed by the Americans. So remind me also to talk about Trump.
No,
there's nothing.
Speak about,
shouldn't have
sorry?
Something wrong there.
Speak
but
about,
it's just because he has taken those people as slaves.
What is that word that you were using during exile? How do you call the Western world?
Which word?
There was a word that was used by the late founding father, but it's fine.
By who?
No, let's continue.
Yeah, because I'm just worried. It shouldn't have been. Because all what you are expecting, we are expecting the social and political chaos now in DRC.
Mm.
You know, those people, that tolerance, they are not like you people who can accept people from different cultures and all these other things.
And
it's all the confusion that he's trying to bring.
My question is that why are you not taking the people that are working with you, why are you not taking them to your house?
In the economic mainstream.
Because you already know if they go back to Afghanistan, they're going to be killed. It's the same.
Those are agents. He just want to plant the agents here to come and destabilize here.
No, it's not agent. US is concerned about people that they were working with in Afghanistan. You know, when they left. Unexpectedly. Those people, they were also running to say, no, you cannot leave us here. We were working with you. These guys who come over, they will kill us. The same thing with Iran. Do you know?
It's not part of dumping. It's not part of... You see, my friend, I understand. They worked with him.
Yeah.
But we benefited. They benefited.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to forge the war against the... So that's why he was able to fight that war and things like that. Now they have worked for him.
Take them home.
Do you have to allow that one to happen?
Yeah.
So because that is an international law, and it must be respected as well.
Why?
So you want them?
Why are you not taking them to your house?
Take them to your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, take them to your house.
Yeah, because it's even a danger. You
know, so now if you want, this is another modern slavery, I think.
No, I think they are also scared because people, you know what happened even in Iran now. And I think the US, they are very smart. They negotiated to say, no, we are extending the ceasefire.
The ceasefire.
But one of the aspects is that those people that you put in line to execute them, don't do that. Do you understand?
I understand. He's leadership. He cannot blame anybody else. He actually looked for it.
Yeah.
And as such, he must just clean up his mess. We understand the expression. And all these things, just maybe because of the blockage that is there. And maybe there's no other way out for him. Do you understand? That's my reasoning, and I see that it's going to extend. But we don't expect that ceasefire involving all this Israel and Lebanon and all these stakeholders that to be concluded. It's same intensity.
And you know the person who is very, very angry now, I mean the people who are suffering now in Iran are those who were protesting. Because now the government is knocking on the doors to say, where are you? Who sold our country? Yeah, in Iran, those who were protesting, those who wanted the government to change.
Yeah, I understand that penalty, that death penalty and all these things, whether it's from the religious perspective or whatever angle that is coming from, of course, I understand the really those who have caused chaos before the war began. And they cannot, of course, see, maybe it's also because of the democratic principles and other...
Hold on.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Oyaita kwefindano talishambula, lokushuna kofikola, mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opauningo mfindani wakamwe komo iPad aveli vahetatu, ovota vaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia, oshipu nengono, lando kashako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe, ndeto SMS oshicha instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
In conclusion?
Yeah, in my conclusion,
yeah.
All I'm saying is that it should be long. And remember those terms and conditions for Iran.
Yeah.
They are always taken into consideration, especially when it comes to reparation and assurance that the world is not going to find themselves in this kind of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the issues which also affect everyone here. So those are principles that you need to present and they must be adhered to.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Because we talk more about the AI in the context of education and all these other sectors.
Yeah.
It's important that, how can you teach? You teach with the, start with, begin with the children. There are some of the schools can have some gadgets. So they work with the Chinese who are so smart in those areas. So why can't we just get that kind of assistance?
All right, thank you.
Training hours.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, we continue with the conversation to say when we want to advance our research, teach them when they are young. Because if you are still have children at grade one, at kindergarten, you know, I was passing by a school and, you know, those songs that we are singing at the grade one, why things are not changing? You know, people are still, you know, those children are still singing Baba Black Sheep, the song that we have been singing, and it's not wrong to sing about those songs, but it's good to have a transformation in terms of education to say, okay, why can't we innovate? Why can't we teach them when they are young? Because even my child is going to sing the same song. Even my grandchild is going to sing the same song that, you know, I was singing. I think there's not much have changed, particularly from the point of preparing the brain. Because if you look at how the world is moving fast now, if you can just imagine a child who did not go to school but is able to open already a cell phone, that is telling you that children that are born currently, they have a different mind. They can learn very fast. That is why it is crucial to make sure that things have to change, because I can't go to grade two now, then take a textbook, then I can relate to almost everything that I was taught. Maybe there must be generic standard of how you teach a kid at early childhood level. That one I understand, but are we preparing the young generation to take charge of the technology? Because we are already late. We are supposed to use the machines that we already find to innovate. And we are not doing that. Because if children are still singing Baba Black Sheep, I think we have a lot of things that we need to work on. Other than that, the Namibia that you want to get into, it will be very difficult. Because currently, if a child is in grade one, they know how to use a computer. They know how to use a cell phone. They can do it. They don't even delete things. Unlike those days when cell phones started. But it's interesting to look into that. So, yeah, it's 49 minutes past the hour of, of 7. And there's a very interesting thing which is happening in Zambia, that the body of Ende Karungu, you know, yesterday on social media, there was aspect to say, no, the body was lost. But no, it's not true. The government of Zambia took charge of the possession of the body of Edgar Lungu. And it's going to be a year now. Just a few months. It's going to be a year now. The former head of state of Zambia. Zambia is not a small country. Former head of state of Zambia, who died in South Africa. And until now, is not buried. people are fighting court after court. And people are fighting for their body. Family versus the state. And this can also teach you a lot of things that hatreds, political battles that go beyond a political arena can be very dangerous. Because those political battles, when they enter the personal lives, then they destroy the whole society. That's why the politics of Zambia is interesting to look. Look, just read Zambia from 1990. Former president arrested by the current. The current will be arrested by the one who is coming. Vice versa, all these things. Even KK himself was jailed. Kaunda, Kenneth Kaunda, the founding father of Zambia. Read that history and understand that if the politics go to personal level, then the country is finished. And I think that is one thing that Namibia, we did well to say we fight. But when it comes to real national issues, people, you see them uniting. People, they are laughing. They are attending each other's wedding. They are attending each other's baby showers. And they are celebrating together. And that is a good politics. But it should not only be ending there, it should also end a tangible part. Now the government is saying they have possession of Ngarongo's body. The lawyers here in South Africa are applying to court again. And you just do not know. But this battle even started before Ngarongo died. And that's how politics and how dirty and dangerous politics can be. Even when you are dead, you are not resting in. How can a national hero going to rest in peace if those things are happening like that? And it's scary. It's for the first time happening, maybe in the whole Africa. Family is saying, no, he's not going to be buried by the state. The state is saying he's our person. But you don't blame. You really blame both sides, because I think the family also thought it was excluded, because, you know, if you read the history, you understand that when Nkrumah was in power, age was also suffering, being jailed, being beaten up by police, you know, being a position leader at that time, and all these things happened. When AJ came to power, there was no reconciling. It was also, you hit me, I hit you now. Then to the point of taking out all the honor that is given to the former president. That's why the family say, you know, our person died an ordinary man. He died. He did not die as a former head of state. But the state is saying, no, bring him. Now there is chaos. And when he's going to be buried, are people even going to attend the former friends? Are the head of state going to even to attend? So that is what's happening in Zambia. The government is saying, now we are in charge, we got control over the body. And the family is saying, we want our person to come back so that we can bury him. And I think there's also something that Africa, we are not doing well. The other time my colleague Francina was speaking about we spend so much money on funerals, but we don't spend that when a person is alive. The same thing, you know, the amount of money that is spent on lawyers and just to fight for somebody who is already dead. Even the state is also spending more money on the attorney generals and the legal advisors and representatives to get a body back. But you want to tell me that there are no people that need food just in Zambia. And it's not only in Zambia. It happens in many areas in at an ordinary houses in Namibia. We also see fights when somebody died. People are fighting. Either is women fighting for somebody who is already gone, fighting to be recognized, or either is properties. Either is family coming together, but that is dangerous for the future, because in an African culture, somebody who died, were supposed to be respected. The question is how the end is going to be. Is going to be buried in a grave, or is going to be reburied again? But you know, you have to watch the observation, and don't only watch to say, you know, Zambia is this way. Watch and also see that what is this teaching you? Because that is anger, that is fight, that even went beyond the dead. And maybe then when they meet each other in the dead, they are also into fight. How is the afterlife going to be in that context? But that is something that we need to look at. But yeah, summing up the conversation, is the conversation of concern to say when it comes to Namibia and employment creation, particularly those business people that are going to attend Namibia EU Business Forum. We should not only think about joint ventures, we must think about long-term sustainability. We must think about not only employment creation, we must think about tangibility of things. To say, if Namibia is exporting raw materials and the president is saying, let us stop the consumer economy because that is the reason every day we create thousands and thousands of jobs outside this country, not for our own, but because of our miscalculation of what those raw materials can do. And this can only be changed if our leaders, when they go and visit our trading partners, they must also go and check the sites that those minerals, those materials are used. Then they get a very clear picture. And when it comes to technology and innovation, it's your time next week to watch online and also go and attend that discussion and also see and ask the question to say, how are you going to transform the University of Science, and how is the field of science in Namibia and technology has improved? What technological device did we come up with? What version have we improved? Apart from coming up with something, what version have we improved in that line? If we speak about, for example, artificial intelligence, if we speak about cybersecurity, and I'm asking this with respect, CREN is an institution that, apart from dealing with the regulations and telecommunication regulations, it also in charge of fighting against cyber attacks and also within a national level. How much money so far is invested in research and development, particularly to promote a strong cyber defense in Namibia? And ask yourself this question: how many devices in Namibia? And I'm asking specifically to CREN to say, how many devices that CREN are using are made from Namibia? And the logical reasoning in this aspect is that if I'm selling you guns and I'm coming to fight you, do you think you are going to defeat me? How are you going to defeat me with something I have produced? Because I already know the range, I already know the power of that. I'll come with a different advanced machine that's going to take you down. It's the same with technological devices. Because if we are not upgrade that game, particularly in knowing the in-depth of things rather than just fixing things, we are just going to the gun battles with a knife, which is absolutely going to be a defined defeat already. So, dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. From me, David Shombe, see you around. Bye-bye. Sharp, sharp. And I'll leave you in the good hands of the Big Mac to unpack the day.